Next week, we're going to start our new series, which is going to be looking at Jesus and the life of Jesus. What is it that he did between his birth, which we celebrate now, and between his death, which we're going to be celebrating at Easter. We're going to be doing a whole series about Jesus, which I'm really excited about. I wasn't, and we'll probably start that properly next week, but I feel that this could act as a little introduction to that. I wrote this 12 months ago. I was having a little flick through about stuff that I wrote about a year ago, and this was something I wrote. In 2016, so this was January, I'm beginning to get excited about Jesus again. I'm very, very slowly realising that Jesus' message is incredibly relevant. And I've realised that I haven't changed much in the last 12 months, clearly, because that's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment, that I'm, if you can say you're falling in love with Jesus again, I don't know if I'd say that was, maybe that's how I'd describe it. But there's a fascination that I'm having again with how brilliant Jesus is. I don't know if you've got Christmas traditions in your house, things that you do. Ours is kind of Christmas ham, that we just kind of eat our weight in Christmas ham, which is odd. We celebrate the birth of the Jewish Messiah, so we just eat a lot of bacon and ham, which I always thought was a bit odd. But never mind. That's kind of our Christmas tradition. You might have them in your... It seems to be my tradition for this time of year is to preach on the wise men. Because I do have a tendency to look back through old talks. And I think this is the third time I've preached on the wise men in the week after Christmas, which kind of makes sense, because they kind of came a bit after Christmas, didn't they? How do we know that the gold, frankincense and myrrh weren't gift-wrapped? Because they were wise and they were men. There we are. There's my one three wise men joke that I've got. And I've got three thoughts about the story of the wise men that I'm going to share with you this morning. Three things that I think we learn from them. Three things that we learn from these slightly strange characters that appear in Matthew and don't really appear anywhere else in the scriptures. They kind of appear in Matthew, they come and see Jesus, and then they disappear. It's a strange passage of scripture, but I think there's a few things we can learn from them. And I want us to look at a couple of those things this morning. I like the wise men because there's something about them that inspires me to chase after Jesus. Now these guys, I just want you to picture the scene. They're living in some country east of Bethlehem. They see a star and they think, I'm going to check that out. And then they get on their camels. I mean, I assume they were camels from the cards, really. I don't know what else they would have travelled on. Anyway, they got on their camels. And they make this kind of journey across to discover this baby, simply because they've seen a star in the sky. And I think that's fascinating, because these wise men, unlike the shepherds, they don't get a visit from the angels. If I got a visit from an angel telling me to go and worship a baby, I would definitely go and do it. But sometimes in our lives, we don't get visits from angels. We don't get God in an audible voice saying, my son's just been born, go and worship him. That would be very easy. Sometimes all we get is a sense that there's something going on that we want to be a part of. It's what the wise men have. They look up to the sky, they see heaven change, and they think, this is something I want to get involved in. They get a sense that there's something exciting happening, and they think, yes, I'll get involved in that. Because sometimes in our lives we don't get the visit from the angels like the shepherds or from Mary. Sometimes we don't get the dreams like Joseph had. Sometimes we just get a sense that there's something bigger than ourselves happening, and we want to be a part of it. And they get on their camels, and they make the journey, and they go and meet Jesus. And they chase after Jesus. And they look for Jesus, and they don't stop until they've found Jesus. Jesus is well worth chasing after. And if at the start of this year, you haven't had a visit from an angel, you don't feel like you've heard an audible voice of God, I do trust that you are getting the sense that God is doing something. That there's something going on, that you look to the heavens, that you see that there's something shifting, and you want to be a part of it. That you like the wise men, you get excited about it. And if that is you, I'd just encourage you to chase after Jesus, to look for Jesus, to follow Jesus, find out anything you can about this Jesus, because he's worth chasing after. I read this a couple of days ago, which I quite liked. You might have heard it before. I'll just share it with you now. Jesus. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never went to a really big city. He never travelled more than 200 miles from his birthplace. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. Yet 2,000 years later, he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies who have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. Regardless of whether you think he's God, I think Jesus is interesting. And when you discover that this is God on earth, what better reason is there to follow him, to chase after Jesus, to find out about this incredible character who lived 2,000 years ago, who never wrote a book and never did anything politically. He never had a title, but this is the God that we worship. This is the Jesus who changes everything. He's changed history and he can change our lives today. As I said, I'm beginning to get excited about Jesus again. I'm very, very slowly realising that Jesus' message is incredibly, incredibly relevant. So my one challenge for you for 2017 is to chase after Jesus. I think that's one of the things we can learn from the wise men. To chase after Jesus. You might not get an angel, but you might just get a sense that something is shifting. So chase after Jesus, because I really do think that he's worth chasing after. And then the wise men, having made the arduous journey on camels, we assume, miles and miles and miles, they didn't even have Uber. And they make it all this way. And they go to the obvious place where the king is. And they go to the palace. And they're excited to see the birth of the prince. I assume you all remember when there was another royal baby. And just the hullabaloo around that. People were so excited. And we were all so excited about what he was wearing and what he was going to look like. When he was a newborn baby, so he looked like a potato, like they all do. But I mean, he was so excited about this newborn child. And this is what the wise men must be feeling. They've gone all this way. There's a new king. There's the king of the Jews who's been born. So they go in to the palace where obviously he is. And they discover that that's not where God has chosen to be born. And we've talked quite a lot about this over Christmas. And it always does baffle me that the God of the universe was born in a shed in an unplanned teenage pregnancy, which is something we looked at Christmas. It baffles me that that's where God was born. It's almost ridiculous. It's almost scandalous. You couldn't make this stuff up, that God would be born to a peasant woman in a shed rather than a stable. But the wise men realize that God is far more accessible than they thought he was. For the wise men, they go to the palace, push through the bodyguards, try and get a glimpse of this famous baby and realise that God's not there. And they realise that God's in a shed where anyone can go and visit. That you don't need a VIP pass to encounter God. That he's very accessible. And if you keep thinking that God is out of reach, let me tell you that God is very accessible this year. That God is very close this year. that there aren't any barriers between you and God anymore because Jesus dealt with them. When Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn in two. The symbol of division between the divine and the human was ripped in half as Jesus dies because there isn't a barrier anymore between you and God. I don't know if you think you've got barriers between you and God. I always feel that I probably don't pray enough, or I feel that I don't read my Bible enough, or I feel that I haven't spent enough time with Jesus enough, and that somehow when I come to God, he's going to be angry at me. I put up these barriers between me and God. Sometimes I just think it's for other people, that you must have ticked enough boxes on a creed, that you must be of a certain background to believe God, but there aren't any barriers between you and God anymore. And that's what the wise men discover, that they realise they don't have to go through the bodyguards at the temple, that Jesus is very accessible. And this year, I would encourage you to expand your view of God, to realise that God is a lot more accessible, that God is very near in 2017. That like the wise men, you can have your view of God expanded to places that you never thought you could encounter him. For the wise men, they realised that God could be encountered in an ordinary shed, not just in a temple. For the shepherds, they realised that God could be encountered through music. Maybe that's for you this year, that you realise you can encounter God through musical worship in a way you haven't done before. For Mary and Joseph, they realised that God could be encountered in their family because they've got a child and this child is God, which must have been very difficult at the parenting teenagers course that we assume Mary and Joseph went to. My child always thinks he's right. I mean, he probably is because he is God. But I don't know how those conversations went. My son's got a Messiah complex. Anyway, you might want to joke for that. But Mary and Joseph realised that God can be encountered in their family. That around the dinner table, that they can encounter God there because Jesus is there. And I think that maybe for you this year, you want to realise that you can encounter God in your family. Or in Faye's case, do you realise that your family can encounter God? The shepherds, it was the music. Mary and Joseph, it was the family. Wise men, it was the fact you can encounter God in a shed and not just in a temple. I don't know where you don't think you can encounter God, but let me tell you that you can. And I really do hope that you can, in 2017, learn to encounter God in new ways. You can expand your view of God. Realise that there isn't a barrier between you and him anymore. Because the wise men chase after Jesus. They have an expanded vision of where God is and what God's like. And my final thing that I think we can learn from the three wise men this morning is we are in this together. That this is a journey we go on together. And quite frankly, everyone is welcome. If I was God and I was writing a list of the people who would see me for the first time, when I first came onto earth, if I was doing the guest list, the Bible would be very different. If I was doing the guest list for meeting myself in human form for the first time, shepherds probably wouldn't have made the list. And I'm pretty sure that three slightly dodgy theology, people who were into the occult from a distant land would make the list. Because when you read about these wise men and the way that they act, if we were to put it into modern scenario, these are the guys who are into Ouija boards. These are the kind of people who read tea leaves. These are the kind of, because they're astrologers. These are the kind of people who do weird tarot dealings. Yet these are the kind of people that God wants to reveal himself to. And I like reading about the wise men because I think, I want to be part of a church where you guys are welcome to come and find Jesus. That regardless of your messed up theology, we're still going to worship Jesus with you and allow you to belong. Now, I'm certainly not advocating tarot cards or Ouija or anything like that. I think it's a terrible idea and don't get involved in it. But I am saying that people who do are still welcome to come and worship Jesus. Because the wise men were. And they came and they presented their gifts and they worshipped the newborn king. There are spiritual seekers in this village who are looking for something bigger than themselves. They know that they're looking for God, but they don't feel that they can find him in a church. And I really do pray that we become a body where we allow people like that to discover Jesus. Because we know that Jesus changes lives. We know that Jesus is God. We know that the thing these people are searching for is Jesus. And we've got to allow people to find him here. I've got this thing going around in my head that someone mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago. And it's the three words, believe, behave and belong. Believe, behave and belong. And I want us as a group to be a community of people that allows people to belong before they have to believe. And certainly before they have to behave. We allow people to belong before they have to believe and certainly before they have to behave. Because that's true of the wise men. They come along and they kneel with Mary and Joseph and they worship Jesus. They worship the Jesus that the priests missed out on. Despite the fact they've got this weird theology about the stars, despite the fact that they don't have the same beliefs, they're still allowed to come and worship Jesus alongside us. And I do pray that that's true for us this year, that we learn to allow people to belong first. And as they belong, then they'll believe. As we allow people to belong, then they encounter Jesus. Then they believe that he is God. Then he changes their lives. But they belong first. They belong, then they believe. And then one day they might behave. But sometimes we do get it wrong. I'm not saying this church, I'm saying as any group of people. Sometimes we want everyone to behave like us first. And then if they behave, they're allowed in. And then if they behave, then we'll tell them they need to believe. And once they behave and then they believe, then maybe they can belong with us. And I do hope that in 2017 we realise that this Jesus really is for everyone. This revelation that Jesus is God and changes people's lives is far too important for us to make people believe it before they can belong with us. We've got to allow people to belong. And as they do that, like the wise men, then they realise that Jesus is God. This message is far too important to keep it to ourselves. So those are my three challenges, I think, from the wise men for this year. Chase after Jesus. He's well worth chasing after. Expand our vision of God to realise that Jesus is very accessible, that God is very close, that you can encounter God in all kinds of ways that you didn't think you had before. And we are in this together. This is a journey we all go on as a community. And it's a community where everyone really is welcome. And as we allow people to feel safe, as we allow people to feel welcome, as we allow people to feel loved, then they start to believe that Jesus really is who he said he was. I'm so convinced that this year is going to be a great year of growth. I've been praying for that for the last week or so. I've been thinking about 2017, been thinking about this church, and I do really get the sense that this is going to be a year of growth for the church, which is so good. And for me, the easiest way to measure growth would be how many people we have on a Sunday. That's the easiest way, but it's certainly not the best. And I've been thinking, and I do feel God saying it is a year of growth. I do believe that the church will grow numerically, I do. But this year, we are going to grow as people. We're going to grow our understanding of what God's like. We're going to grow our expectations of God. We're going to grow our spirituality so that we're ready for numerical growth. Does that kind of make sense? So I'm not praying for more people on a Sunday, because we need to develop as Christians. We need to grow our spirituality so that we're ready for more people on a Sunday. In fact, I'd say that more people on a Sunday is just a natural result of us growing our view of Jesus. Does that make sense? So I really do pray that this is a year of growth for the church and for you. That you know growth this year. Wherever you're at, as you chase after Jesus, as you expand your vision of God, as you realise that we do it all together, I do pray that you would know that. today and for 2017. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to finish with a song, Be Thou My Vision, because it's such a good song. Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth, and we thank you that you are accessible to us today. We thank you that there really isn't any barrier between us and you anymore, because the cross dealt with it all. God, we're sorry when we got lazy in chasing after you. We're sorry if we allowed our fascination with you, Jesus, to die. And I pray that this year we would reignite our passion for your name. We'd reignite a passion for you, Jesus. We'd become again more and more in love with you. We would fall in love with you again, King Jesus. We thank you that you are worth chasing after. And God, I pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you'd expand our view of God, that you'd enlarge in our hearts to love people more deeply, to love you more passionately. And God, I pray that we would be a really inclusive community that allow people to feel safe, that allow people to feel like they belong, so that they can encounter you, Jesus. Help us not to get in the way of people encountering you, but instead, let's be a group of people who help people discover you, Jesus. Come by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill us this morning. Fill us this morning. Amen. Amen.